something like this. Let us fall into the hands of God, for his compassion is great, or his compassions are greater, and let us not fall into the hands of man. You know, I really touch in this way that, you know, whenever we gather together, the Lord is among us. So, you know, each one of us, I may be, you know, a lot older than you, but we are actually brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have the same life and nature, and in spirit, we do care for one another. And that is why when we come together, we sing, we pray, there's a flow in our being. You know, I just wanted to encourage you as you grow older, always remember the time we had together right here. It was so sweet. And even when you're old enough to go to the grown-up meetings, still come back to the church. You know, there's always the supply. And, you know, we grow together through the service. I serve children, and I serve translation. I serve projector on Lord's Day. I'd rather serve projector, you know, or translation. I think it's so much easier because we didn't have to come, like, you know, on Saturday to pray or anything. That's the truth. But in spirit, I connect with the sisters I serve together. If I have to put it this way, you know, whenever it's my turn to serve on that Saturday, I do have the burden to come and meet with the sister, and we go over the lesson together, we pray together, and we labor together in the Lord. You will find that experience as you grow, and it will be so sweet and so real to you. Because our Lord is real. He is God of speaking. He's God of knowledge. What does that mean? That means he knows all of our situations. He is so sweet to us. He's in our spirit. Whenever we turn to our spirit, he is there. He is the best friend. He's our rock, our shield, our savior. We should all rejoice in our salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Something that I enjoyed was how David always had set times to spend with Jehovah. And because, like, I kind of, like, sometimes I don't exactly have set times with the Lord because I get distracted by other things. But it kind of really reminded me, like, how he must have loved Jehovah and how he must have thought of him all the time to always remember how to spend time with him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I was really impressed by this point that David had a personal, intimate, and affectionate relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I go to Stuyvesant, and every day I have to take the train for an hour. And during this time, right, I've started to, you know, listen to hymns and read the word on the train. And, you know, before that, you know, Monday mornings are always the worst for me because I'm just like, oh, I have school today. And it's like the beginning of the week. I have like a bunch of tests this week, whatever. And I like used to walk in with this like frown on my face. But recently, right, just by listening to hymns and enjoying the word, I've been walking to school with a smile on my face, which is like, what? Like on Monday mornings. And it's just insane how much, like, the Lord can bring us joy, like, in the morning, just coming to the Lord, contacting him, even just for that little time. You know, some people might study on the train or whatever, but just give the Lord that little time to just read one chapter, listen to hymns while you study. Like, we all listen to music when we study anyways. But, you know, like, just having that little contact with the Lord just brings so much joy. And, you know, there's this verse in Nehemiah that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. I really appreciated to see how David is a pattern to us, especially in how soft and open his heart was to the Lord. So when David was young, when he was anointed to be the king, but it was many years later before he actually became a king. But throughout all that time, his attitude was open and soft to the Lord. And eventually, when he had his failure, I appreciated that his heart was still soft to the Lord. The Lord continued to keep him humble and open to him. So even after such a terrible sin, he could have such a genuine and sincere repentance before the Lord. So my prayer is that this example would be a real pattern to us. May we be those who are like David, keep our heart continually soft and open to the Lord. Yeah. If our heart is, I was really touched by the diagram on the board about the pipe. A little hardness of heart can really affect how the flow of life passes through us. So may the Lord have mercy on each one of us, that there we never allow there to be any hardness of heart in us.
I was just very shocked to hear that, we have a passageway that connects you with the Lord. So when it gets clogged, it blocks all of the contact with the Lord, and then you slowly fall into the world. Lately, I have not been reading the Bible or praying, and then I was just so saddened to hear I realized my condition that I'm in, and I was just so sad to see from where I've become, what kind of person that I've become without having any contact with the Lord. So I'm really glad that I came so I could come back to the Word and go back to the Lord.
I'll share a testimony on behalf of my granddaughter. She's a sixth grader, and she's in there. She said while we were singing this morning, Christians are the happiest people. And this sister, Rebecca, I've been waiting to hear a testimony like that. When I first came into the church, and I was a young married sister, there was a teenager, and she gave a testimony like that. And it just, to me, it's just so wonderful and amazing that as a high schooler, the Lord could be your best friend. You could be enjoying the Lord, talking to the Lord on your way to school. If what Kylie said is true, the Christians are the happiest people, don't you think others are going to be attracted? Why are you smiling this morning, Rebecca? Everybody else is miserable. There's a light shining out, and all of you have that potential to be a light. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Okay, so when I first came here, I was expecting something different, and I was pretty surprised when I came, and to be honest, somewhat disappointed, but with these meetings, with the hymns, and lectures about David, and other people of the Lord, I've completely forgotten what I was expecting, and I'm just here. These meetings, they really help you forget about everything else, and you're just here with the Lord, and I really look forward to coming back sometime soon. Amen.
What really touched me today in the meeting, the previous meeting, was that when I heard that the Bible always tells us the truth. And so we're all like David. We're not perfect because all of us have flaws. And so everybody makes a mistake once in a blue moon or always. It doesn't matter. But, nobody in this room is perfect. Everybody has flaws once in a while. So that we're like David.
So I was touched in a sense, I was touched with David, but I was really also touched with Joseph and how, the contrast here, how you have, of course, you have the sovereignty of the Lord and his forgiveness that is forever, but then you also have, Joseph, who who overcame his situation. And then you have in the middle, like, you know, this testimony on how can we be saved from having to fall into the sin in the first place is by maintaining our joy. Of course, if there is a failure, the Lord is merciful. We sang that hymn that talks about we have a loving Father whose heart is always good toward us. But the point that I would stress out is that I would stress here is let's just maintain our joy. There will be faults. We're in a process, and the Lord needs to expose us, and He will, and so that He can, you know, do further work in us. But I appreciate very much this manner of just continuing to run together. The three homework assignments that were given, take it seriously. Don't let the time go. It's an opportunity to gain the Lord. Amen. So what was it? You're gonna pray one time every day until you start school. And then for the next 7 weeks, you're going to pray once a week, right? Amen?
Amen.
And then what are you going to do? You're going to give out, what, 2 gospel tracts to your friends?
A week.
Pray before you go. And pray with your companion before you give the tract. And don't be afraid of their faces. I tell my children this. This is a principle. If I have to discipline them or correct them or take something, I will say, you will hate me now, but you will love me later forever. You know, so, I mean, let your friends, if they want to make fun of you, don't be afraid, because when the Lord comes, and then they're going to say, wow, you really love me. You really are burdened for your friends, and you really have that heart. Don't be afraid to lose your face. And I just want to add just one other thing. Like, for sisters bringing in brothers or brothers bringing in sisters, always have a companion. Because you may have a burden for a male or you may have a burden for a female, but it is such a stronger testimony when you have one of your companions there, because you don't know what they're thinking. Like, the world, they're so it's so twisted. Like, they may think you're really interested in them. Meanwhile, you have a burden for them. So it's a protection when you pray with your companions. I mean, I personally feel it's best to stick to, like, sisters, we'll stick with the sisters and brothers for their male friends, but just pray. Pray the Lord is sovereign over everything. But what was the last one? The three? Oh, yes, the set time. And I'll just end with this, because I know everybody has something to say, but the set place is so crucial with the set time. Because we learned recently, when you have a set place and a set time, that trickles into your daily living, so it will be any time and any place, wherever you are. You're in school, it's so much easier to contact the Lord because you already had that set time and set place with the Lord. So morning, afternoon, and evening, just even write a schedule, even check the box, because something gets triggered in our reward system inside our mind. When you check the box, we get a little sticker. Just do it. It works for me in my daily living. So just praise the Lord, young people and serving ones and parents, that we can go on together. May this time really bring profit for the Lord for what He's doing.
Amen. So I wanted to share this last night, but I didn't think I was ready. So now I just want to share this, like, personal testimony for anyone who needs it. So in January, I didn't go to church for about, like, 2 weeks. And I think in those 2 weeks, my life kind of just turned around. And I don't really know why, and I still don't know why. But I think thoughts kind of just started coming to my mind. And ideas started coming to my mind too, like ideas of what to do to other people and ideas of what to do to myself. And I know some brothers did share yesterday that they joke around about suicidal thoughts, and I can relate too, because it seems like something crazy. But when you're in that moment, it turns from something crazy to something really, really easy. Something as easy as breathing and eating, something that doesn't require a second thought. But when you're in that moment, just remember how precious you are to God. Because you were selected by God, and it's His mercy that you guys are here today. So just, if you think you've got nothing to live for God, because He can use you as a vessel, and that's all He asked for. Just, amen. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I came to this conference.
Amen. All right, so this matter of serving, I always thought it was a big burden to serve. Like, so... somebody came up to me in the church. Oh no, my mom came up to me, like, in the church. And like, she suggested that I could, serve a class of children. I mean, I can't even handle my own 9-year-old brother at home. How could I handle, like, 8 other people just like him? So, not that. And at home, like, you know, I play guitar, and my mom asks me to play a song. I say no, I feel uncomfortable. But here in the church, for some reason, somebody asked me to play. I say, all right, I'll try. And I don't know why, the church, the Lord, has some special effect on me. Another example, at home, I take out the my mom asks me to take out the trash. I don't want to because it's trash, right? Like, you don't want to hold it. But in church, when our class serves, I do it happily for some reason. But the Lord does something, right, to me, and it gives me joy. Serving should be a joy, not a burden. Amen.
Amen.
I was just looking at David's filters and filters. I was just thinking that what David did on his filters is we may think that's funny, and what he says is like he says he lost of his eyes and lost of his flesh for looking something appropriate, and sometimes we just like to make a joke and looking something that's inappropriate, but we may not realize, but that's very disrespectful. So we shouldn't be doing something that we shouldn't be doing. Amen. Amen.
I really enjoyed what Brother Marvin said about how we had to maintain our vessels. He brought up a very valid point, in my opinion, at least, that our vessels had, you know, we weren't being serious enough. And I think we really should be more serious. Because there's so many inappropriate things and we have to look away. And we just, sometimes we fail.
I just wanted to echo what our brother said about first and foremost, you have to pray before anything, really, but like especially before you serve. And I'm sure many of the serving ones can agree that like it makes a huge difference if you pray before you start serving, especially if you're serving other humans. It just makes a huge difference. And I don't know how many of you guys know that most times before like the meetings of the Lord's Day or Saturday or even this conference, we'll always gather together either like in person or through phone or some other method and just pray before doing it. Like sometimes the meetings are about like, you know, what are we gonna talk about? But first and foremost, we always remind each other like, let's pray first before we do anything. And it makes a huge difference because sometimes when you're serving without it, you feel like you're serving with yourself. And if you haven't been praying in general, you're not going to have anything to flow out except yourself. And that's not the best thing. But I remember after summer school, we also have like a prayer time in the morning where we would gather, we would pray, sing, and pray, read. And it was tiring because it was like 6:30 a.m. for 10 days straight. But then the week after, I started my job for the first time and I went to a summer camp with a bunch of kids, and it was like me and like a couple of like coaches, but like it was so hard, and I was like, man, I wish we had a morning like time together to just like maybe with like them just to like talk about like what we're gonna do today or how to handle these kids. But I was like, I missed that prayer time so much, so like I had to just do it myself. I would sit in my car with like my med kit and be like, Lord, pray nothing happens because I'm not ready to deal with any kids today. Or just say to pray. And, you know, that's something that you can just do on your own. And having this that habit for 10 days really carried on as I started working. And it really preserved me during my first few months of work. But you got to keep up with it also. Amen.
For these past about 42 hours, I've really grown a strong bond with God, and maybe a lot of brothers and sisters like us have also. Even Even though we've learned a lot of morals and some lecturing on David, Joseph, Dawn, and some hymns, this really has affected me in certain ways that I can't really explain in words, because it gives me joy, and this is something I haven't really felt with in a long time. Also, having peers here, it intrigues me to put my effort into it, and it allows me to try my best along with friends. Amen. Amen.
Any more of you will share, but while you think and prepare your portion, especially those who have not come up and speak, hope you will. But while you prepare, I'm going to take probably just 2 minutes to share something I have enjoyed. Firstly, my highest enjoyment is being your own testimonies. Young people just have a way just to be real. You say something, it's real, and it just touched my heart. And about David, probably the most famous account about David is him defeating Goliath. You know, Goliath was a huge fighter, but David defeated him. But many people, even unbelievers, know this story, but they don't know the details. And it is in the details that we see a huge lesson, as we have learned. And I really appreciate the confidence he had in the Lord. Because what he answered to Saul when he was spoken of, like, you're just a kid, you're not going to be able to defeat him. He answered, no, because I have defeated the lion and I have defeated the bear when I was protecting the sheep. And he knew that because his trust was in the Lord. He knew God was with him when he was fighting against the lion and when he was fighting against the bear. He knew it was not out of his strength, but out of God being with him. You know, the longest book in the Bible, the one that has most chapters, is the Psalms. And many of them were composed by David. This shows the type of relationship he had with him. So based on that, is that his strength came from. So he knew that God was with him to defeat Goliath. And when he went to Goliath, he said to him, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts. That tells you a lot. He was not confident in himself, but in God. He knew God was with him. Well, young people, the conference ends today, but God is with you. And the battlefield is ahead of us, but remember this, God is with us. And we have to exercise to just be with him, be in fellowship with him, to experience the victory that we always will have in God.
To add on to what Brother Othmar just said, I wanted to share something that my family read before this conference. The night before this conference, we were reading 1 Samuel 16 and 17. And one detail I wanted to share from the David and Goliath was 1 Samuel 17:49. It says, and David put forth his hand into his bag and took a stone from there, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So, like, the detail we were discussing was how the stone sank into his forehead. Normally, a stone or a pebble would just bounce off, but when David threw it, he threw it like directly at the forehead, but we discussed that God is the one who put the stone into Goliath's forehead and is the one who defeated Goliath. So I wanted to share this because it just shows that God is always our strength, and we just always have to trust in him.
So an outline phone for Roman numeral 2, C 1-3, it basically tells us how we should be in order to be channel vessels. I'm going to just go over it shortly. So it says to be open, deal with our heart, and be willing. Honestly, in my personal life, I can't say I don't do it, but I can't also say that I do it. So it's like right in the middle. Now I want to share something personal that I don't think I told anybody. A couple of years back, my sister, she was going through a hard time. All of our family, actually. But what she was doing was pretty deep, I guess. And when I found out, I don't know. But it just shows you how much Satan tries to do in order to bring you down, tries to break you. He can go for you physically, or he can go for you spiritually. And now I realize that we should be strong for one another, not just for yourselves. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just enjoy the point of this conference, how like I am a David, and everyone in this room, we're all Davids. Like during this, in the conference, when we're exercising our spirit, we're David. And when we're in the meetings and enjoying the meetings, we're David. But when we fall away from God and fail, we're also David. But like David was when his sin was exposed, we shouldn't try to deny our sins or run away from the Lord. We should like turn to him and ask for forgiveness. And because no matter how far away we will fall from the Lord, he'll always forgive us, and we'll always and he'll always allow us to repent and come back to his mercy.
I guess Satan makes it harder for us to like go down the wrong path in life. And I feel like I forgot what I was gonna say, but so basically like in the church it's like easier to stay on the right path because we have God, and I guess we could like focus more on God, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So what I really enjoyed from outline 4 was the matter of service. And so I serve the piano along with some other brothers and sisters for a children's meeting every twice a week. And, oh, sorry, not twice a week, twice a month. And it's really hard sometimes, because there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. Besides praying, you have to search up the songs, you have to practice them beforehand, and it's a lot of work, and you're also dealing with people, so you have to come with an exercise spirit, and after a long week, you're kind of dead, and it's really hard to just be high in spirit for the children. But I just really enjoyed that, it's really important to care for others, because, especially the children, because they are the future. And if there's no children, then there's no future of the church. And so when you put in that effort and you see the children enjoying the songs and all the hymns and singing along loudly, it really just strengthens your spirit. And it just, and so I would just all encourage you to take part in some kind of service. And no matter who you are, even if you like don't like children or you don't, you're like really bad at music, just take part in something, because God gives so much love to us. So it's only natural for us to return that love to others that the Lord also cares about.
So I just really enjoyed that one of the saints said that we have to serve and we have to be happy when we serve. So like, Every 2 weeks on the Lord's Day, I would serve with the children. And to be honest, I really don't want to serve with the children. So like my mom, she would wake me up the Sunday morning and I would just be so miserable. I would have to serve with the children. But then like 2 weeks ago, my mom said, oh, let's read some verses the Saturday night. And then when I woke up on Sunday, I was like so eager, and I just wanted, and I served and I sang and I was so happy. So we just need to serve and just maintain that joy.
I really enjoy the fact that like the God is always there next to you through your ups and downs. Like even like he'll always forgive you when you like as long as he'll always forgive you as long as you like confess to him. He's like the only person that you can always talk to and never judge you about, like, who you really are. Because, like, to the, like, when you talk to the, like, to God, like, you can never, like, don't care about, like, what people would think. Because, like, the Lord will never judge you of who you truly are. You can just say all, like, everything to him. Like, your, like, what you're going through, your tests, your, like, what you have, like, with your problems. Like, God is just, like, your best friend. You're, like, family. Like, the one who always listen to you when you want to say something. Amen.
So I really enjoyed one of the sisters sharing where they said that they enjoy the word while they're on the train and they have a smile on their face. And so, like, it also takes me an hour to get to my school. I also take the subway. And so, I mean, like, when I get in, like, nobody has a smile on their face. I mean, it's a crowded train when I get in, it's a crowded train when I get out, and, like, nobody's happy. Everybody's pushing around. You smell people. There's a homeless guy on the train. And it's hard. It's, and, because, like, you, I think, you know, one day I was really happy because it was a Friday and I didn't feel tired. And then my train all of a sudden wanted to change to the west side. And I had to go up, take the 4, crowded train. People were always arguing. They're like, move, get out of the way, go inside. And I'm just there trying to be quiet because I know if I say something, it's just going to create more problems. But, I mean, and then I got to school like at 9:30. And then I was really mad. Like, my teacher told me to stop talking. And I was like, I literally said shut up because I was so mad. And, I mean, I guess after that, I just put my hood on, put my earphones on, and then started listening to music. But, I mean, now that I think of it, I mean, I could just, you know, someone told me on Spotify that there's, like, hymns. So, like, now on the way there, I listen to hymns instead of my regular playlist. And, I mean, I'm just there, like bobbing my head. I was like, oh, man, like, this hymn is pretty cool. And then... And then people are looking at me, and I'm like, and my friend one time, he asked me what I was listening to, and I said, oh, one of my favorite songs, and then I gave it to him, and then he was like, wait, what is this? I was like, oh, this is from my church. He's like, oh, trash, and I was like, oh, what? And then I started, like, making fun of him. I started making fun of his hair. Started making fun of his shoes, everything. But, I mean, because I don't like people talking like that to me. And so, but after, I just felt really bad. I know I had a bad feeling in my conscience. So then after that, I told him if he wanted to come to me to the retreat. And he said, nah, I don't want to come. I was like, and your fault. You're going to miss out. And he was like, all right, whatever. But I said, I'm sorry. I said sorry to him, and then we were cool after that, but I still feel kind of bad. So I just pray that, you know, that I could invite this friend and that the Lord could flow through me.
So just prefacing, at my school, suicide is like a really big joke. And a senior once told me that by the time I reached junior year, I would know at least 3 people who went to rehab for drugs or self-harm or attempted suicide. So that being said, one day after class, the teacher came up to me and she said, why are you so happy? Why are you smiling all the time? Because no one is happy. Everyone is depressed. And so that got me thinking, like, why am I happy? Like, I didn't do too well on that last test, like, to be honest. And, like, I have... no, not one of my better subjects. Yeah. But, and then I went home. And I looked at my homework. It was like Google Classroom, Jupyter Grades. I have like 7 things I have to do. It's going to take me like 50,000 hours. And then, like, I feel like overwhelming sense of dread and like despair. And I'm never going to finish this. And I'm going to be awake until like I have to go to school. Yeah. And then like all of a sudden, like this hymn came to my head, and like I just started humming a hymn, and like it really gave me like a lot of strength to keep doing it. Like for however long it would take, I got a lot more strength, and we need to like derive strength from God.
So last night, the subject that the brothers were talking about, it was something in like a rapper's, he died because of taking a lot of drugs, and now people see what happens when you take these, and now a lot of rappers, like, they don't take drugs anymore because, well, a lot of people are dying because of these, and so there are many bad things in the world, and Satan is always tempting us to do these things. So we just need to stop. Like, if we see something, then just don't do it.
Even though David failed, he still repented, and he still dealt with his heart, and he still went on. But, like, a lot of times when I fail, like, last semester, I got a 0 on my global quiz, and yeah, so like for the next 2 months, I was like, okay, I can never go to global ever again. I can whenever I have to do my global homework, I'm like, this is horrible, and I was so embarrassed, right? And like sometimes when I go to the Lord, I just feel so inadequate, and like I feel so embarrassed in front of Him because I fail all the time. But the Lord just really wants us to come and talk to Him. And I was really touched by the story in Luke 24 about the two disciples and how the Lord, like, whatever negative situation we're in, or if we're on our way to one, He's always willing to meet us on our wherever we are. And so, like, despite our failures, we just, like, I was just so touched about how important it is just to apply the blood and how important it is to keep continuing.
I enjoyed how we have to be a pattern to like the people that we serve. So after Summer School of Truth, they stressed how it was important to serve. So I signed up to serve like the children's meeting. But then I haven't been doing like too good of a job. I like come in late, and like I'm always so tired. And then I like stand awkwardly on like with the stick and like point very badly. But I just realized how like we have to be willing for the Lord to flow out of us, because in order to serve God, we have to serve man.
I remember what I was gonna say. The Lord brought it back to me. So I was talking to a brother, and he was giving me like advice for like my daily life, and he was like, in life there are two paths, or in like when you know God there are two paths. One is like the hard path, like you can go and it's harder, like have a family and like live with God and stuff like that. But the other one's easier, but there's a bigger risk. It's like with like drugs and gangs, and it's like different, I guess. It's like more complicated, but it's an easier way to go, he said. But like he said which one I would choose. I didn't really have an answer for him then, but I feel like I want to take like the first route, because I mean, well, there's less risk, and because I guess I love God.
Amen.
I enjoyed about confession, that we should confess our sins, because we shouldn't have that hardness in our heart to like stop the flow of God. And we should confess because we need God to flow through us.
So I served for third and fourth grade at Jamaica. So when I started out, I kind of didn't go to the fellowship meeting. And I thought all I needed was just the lesson plan. And then I read it and then just explain to the kids what happened. But it didn't exactly go that way.
Well, because obviously I skipped a step. I didn't pray about it, and I didn't go to the meeting where I could interact with the saints. So yeah, it went horrible. I forgot what I needed to say, and then it was just so bad. But after this conference, I realized that I need to fellowship with this other saints that I'm serving with, and I need to just pray to God about what I need to do. To just end off this with the verse, 1 John 3:16. In this we know love, that he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers.
Amen. In the military, there is a saying that goes something like, train as you fight, and fight as you train. So what that means is, during training, you train as realistically as possible as you are actually going to war. And as believers, as Christians, we are all under this training. Actually, our training today is to prepare us one day to fight against God's enemy. And so I was just so touched with, again, David's example of there was Goliath, and he was not afraid. Actually, his spirit was provoked because Goliath was blasphemy, God and God's people. And so he was provoked, but he was not afraid. Why? Because he said, I've done this, something similar before. I took care of the bear, and I took care of the lion. And actually, when they say, okay, well, you're going to go fight with him, and they try to put something on him, that he was put Saul's armor on him. And imagine, Saul is so tall, and David is much shorter, and you put the helmet on him, I don't know, if it won't fit. Or the armor, it's like, actually, it will be a detriment to him when he go to war, in what he is not accustomed to. But David was skilled, not in that, but in what? Just a little sling. So he chose that, and a staff. What he used every day. So every day, he took his everyday, what? In the field with the sheep, as training. That's what we are. In me, at work, that's training. For you, for you, at school, that's training. Take that seriously. Because I was thinking, the gospel track, right? Oh, I don't know. I myself am just, when I hear a gospel, I say, yes, hallelujah. But at the same time, I say, oh, Lord. I have to pass out tracts. I have to do that too, right, serving ones? Yeah. Amen. Yes. Yeah. So two tracts this week. Oh, I am already considering who. But with the gospel, oftentimes we say, oh, what do I do? Well, I mean, just a suggestion. In the gospel meeting, where there are more of us than the unbelievers, then sit with a brother who is sharing the gospel. Not in the meeting, but maybe during the meal time, and listen to what they say. Learn in a setting where you are comfortable in learning. So that what? That is our training. That's how you can learn. You don't have to like go cold feet and go out to the streets and passing out tracts, which we could do too. But take every opportunity in the church life, in your service, as a training from the Lord. And I just want to end with this about the matter of temptation, right, Peter? David failed from just one thing, looking. We were reading earlier today, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 to 11, about all these were examples to us, right? So as a warning to us. So, but I was touched just two verses down. It's verse 13. It reads, I'll just read this. No temptation has taken you except that which is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow that you be tempted beyond what you are able. But will, with the temptation, also make the way out that you will be able to endure it. So all the things, sins and things of the world, it comes to us. Take it as a kind of a training. Lord, there is a way out. And we talked about this. Lord, I need to call. I need to flee. I need to pursue with those. When these things present themselves, take that as, Lord, I'm succumbing to sin. No, don't do that. Use that as a training for you to withstand. But for that, we need to learn. Lord, we need to rely on the Lord. He's the one who provides a way out. So when that happens, say, just call on the Lord. Lord, what's my way out? Or this, trust in the Lord. Then he will provide you a way out.
Amen.
Is anyone else want to share? Come up, last call. Okay, so just those standing, okay?
Okay, so I haven't been to... Gotcha. I haven't been to any meetings in a while, and it's because my mom, she has to work, so she can't take me. But it's not like I didn't want to go. I wanted to go, but I just didn't have a ride. But it doesn't really matter, like, what your reasoning is, because Satan will still try to find a way to deaden you inside. And normally, when I did go regularly to meetings, I don't know if any of you, but I'm known as the Christian, or the one who's always smiling or happy. And, you know, people always ask me, you know, why are you so happy? Why are you so alive? You know, because everyone else is kind of like depressed. But, you know, it's because we have the Lord in us. And when we don't exercise, you know, our spirit and go to meetings and really experience the Lord, then our vessel is clogged and we can't receive the Lord. But from this conference, I learned that, you know, all the things of the world, that, you know, we just have to flee that and pursue God. Amen. So we can contact him.
Amen. In Second Samuel 7:8, it says that David was following the sheep rather than him leading the sheep, right? We see that he's being trained by God in humility, right? And through his daily living, he was being trained, right? In my daily living, right? Some people think that I'm smart, but I fail a lot in school. Like, I go to Stuyvesant, and everyone's smart. And I remember that recently there's a math test that I took, and I thought it was super easy, right? I was telling my friends, oh, I got 100. I got 110, right? But when I got it back, I got a 77. So I just know that in my daily living, I'm being trained to produce proper humanity for his future service.
So I came to Penrill not knowing a lot about David, and after these past few days, I learned a lot about him and how he had it hard. Like, it wasn't easy for him. Like, he was like the son that was left out, but God was with him. Like, he chose him. So that taught me a lesson, saying, like, if you're ever feeling like down, like sad or anything, just remember that God is always next to you.
Amen.
These past 3 days, I really enjoyed that whenever we're sad or mad, the Lord will always meet us wherever we are.
Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So as a senior, I have a lot of free time because I only have like 3 classes, and I have a lot of free time. So I use that free time, I guess, now to like serve the Lord. Oh, serving is such a struggle, though. Saturday I have maintenance service. Yeah, I have maintenance service. I stay there for quite a while, and it's really hard because then I'm just like, I could have used this time to go to sleep. I could have took like 3 naps already. But it's like, I just get this joy from just serving, like just being able to like help out and just like help out with like the cleaning and all the services needed to maintain the building of the church. And I also serve 6th graders. That was a big struggle because then, oh, 6th graders, the kids, I love the kids, but I just feel like I'm like a terrible serving one because I do not know anything. I don't know. But then like when I get together with the other serving ones, it's like really enjoyable because then they're shepherding me and I'm shepherding the other kids. And it's just like, oh, like serving is difficult, but there's a joy to it.
So during the meeting, something really touched me. It's the story about David and Joseph. David was one of the strongest brothers at his time. He had a lot of training. Yet after time away from the Lord, he sinned and broke 5 commandments. And Joseph, he was just some kid who got sold as a slave, and he somehow managed, and he did right, and he followed God's will. And it really showed me that you had to stay in the Christian life in order to, you had to follow God's will to, like, basically just follow God's will.
I really enjoyed the point and that in order to be a channel vessel for the Lord, we have to deal with our heart. But, like, I enjoyed the word right after that, continually. It's not a one-time thing. Like, you can't deal with your sins once and you'll be good for the rest of your life. Because, like, we sin every day, so, like, we need to confess every day. Like, for example, last night, like, while we were playing Bang, I had, like, my music playing, and it wasn't, like, super nice music. And, like, when Marvin walked in, I just, like, turned it down, like, kind of low-key, kind of not, but, he noticed it. And it's, like, as soon as he walked in, like, I knew it wasn't, like, something I should be doing. So, like, I dealt with it. But, like, when he walked right out, I, like, turned it back on. And it's, like, it's just something I like need to deal with by myself. And it's like, in order to be like the proper vessel for the Lord, we need to deal with our heart.
So something that really interested me was David's backstory. He was the 8th son, and he was also kind of the most irrelevant one. His own father forgot about him. And yet he turned out to be the king. And it just goes to show how God wasn't looking for all of the other brothers, because all the other brothers of David had their own specialties. One of them was the tallest, the bravest, the coolest, the most handsome. But throughout each brother, the explanation said that God did not look for these sort of appearances. He looked for what was in the heart. But still, afterwards, David was elected king. He went through 15 years of training, which was suffering for him, and throughout these 15 years he became king, and he did a good job for the most part, but then he sinned, and those 15 years of training, all the things that he went through, just like that, it was all broken, and he violated 5 of the commandments, and there's 10, so that's like half of all the commandments. And so what happened was he still managed to repent, and God did forgive him. The consequences for his mistakes could have been much worse. And it just goes to show that you have to maintain a strong consistency in order to follow out God's plan.
Amen. Amen. So, like Marvin said, about praying with your saints or companions, I enjoy the idea that the church is always there for you. So, you know, like, you can talk to them. So, like, for, like, the past 2 months, we kind of grew into this practice, me and a couple of other brothers, to go to this brother's house and play video games. Though it's not like, you know, we pray every Sunday or anything, but, you know, I just like spending time with the saints.
Amen. One thing that Brother Marvin mentioned was that how our gospel actually comes from our living. And I think that's, you know, very true for me. I remember one time during lunch, you know, me and my friends were sitting down and they were just all discussing how their week was going. Everybody was like, oh, my week's terrible. You know, I have so many tests, I'm so stressed. And then the subject came to me, and then my friends were like, Peter, you just seem to cruise through the week. Like, how do you do that? And there was an opportunity to speak the gospel, but I didn't take it. So, but like the point is that in order for us to really preach the gospel and have opportunities, we have to let the Lord serve us and let the Lord work in us so that we have the pattern. In 1 Timothy 4:12, when Paul says to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers. So in the same way, if we are a pattern to, you know, the believers and to those around us, you know, they'll see, and then the opportunities will come. And when they come, you have to seize them.
I really enjoy the point about, like, how you shouldn't underestimate your enemy, and, like, you're always given under training. I feel like this winter conference was kind of a training, because, like, usually I start, like, laughing, like, during people, like, when people talk and stuff, and, like, I didn't want to go to the meeting today, because, like, I felt embarrassed and stuff, and I wanted to sit in the back, but then Brother Frank didn't let me. He made me sit in the front, so, like, I had no choice. And then I feel like this training is, like, you're resisting your temptation, because, like, you want to laugh, but then you need to control it, and it's, like, really hard. And then so, like, yeah, like, I feel like same thing with, like, David. He was, like, always good and stuff, and then, but then he like, broke the last five commandments. So, like, it shows, like, you shouldn't underestimate, like, Satan, because, like, he's always really tempting. But as long as you have, like, a strong faith, you're able to endure it.
One thing I enjoyed about this meeting was about David. And although David was a good person, he broke five of the Ten Commandments. And even though he broke five of the ten, God still forgave David for what he did. And this shows even if we sin, we can always confess and the Lord will always forgive us.
So something happened to me during this winter retreat. And personally, it has to do with something I struggle with a lot. It's an emotion called envy. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. And I envy you if you don't envy other people. I don't know. Anyway, so I struggle with jealousy, and it's very, very hard for me because I get jealous, and it's a way that Satan gets to me. It's a way that he's like, ooh, like go away from the church life. But there was one specific person that I was very jealous of in this winter retreat. And, you know, there's no point to be jealous, but I was just so jealous, and I wanted to just wade in my, like, envy and just be like, oh, I hate this person. But something in me just told me, don't do it. You can't do it, you know? Like, I'm not really one to try to be envious, but it just happens. And there was this one person I was really jealous of, and then I prayed to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, just please, I don't want to be jealous of this person. Like, it's a sin to be jealous. And I prayed to the Lord about it, and praise the Lord, he was actually able to make me not as jealous as I was before. And me and this person are now friends, and I really appreciate it. Through this experience, you're probably wondering, like, what I'm talking about, but through this experience, I was really able to understand, like, two points. And the first point is that the power of prayer is so powerful, I guess you can say. It's just so potent, and we just kind of overlook it. We think that prayer is just some other thing, some other way to contact God, or just some sort of way of talking, but prayer really is a powerful weapon, and you should utilize it in any way that you can, and the Lord will always be there to listen to you. And my second point is that everything happens for a reason. It's all part of God's plan, and he is testing us. It's all survival of the fittest. And it's honestly up to you whether you want to allow Satan to get to you and to kind of, like, run away from him, or do you want to rise up and face him. And you shouldn't be afraid of these things, and you shouldn't allow Satan to use fear to kind of utilize you. So, like, one last note, because I know everybody just wants to leave. One last note is... Come on! The last point is, fear has two meanings. Fear can either mean forget everything and run, or fear can mean forget everything and rise. And the choice is up to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, dear young people. I would like to share something to all of you. When I was your age, when I was almost 12 years old back in my country, I grew up in a small town, and twice a year, they used to make a campaign. So they used to, a day before the campaign, they used to go to every village and announce that it's going to be a gospel meeting. So all the town was invited. So we all were invited, and I was 12, and all my friends from school, we used to go there, and at that time, they only told us two things. One was that we need to love God and love our neighbor and honor your parents. And if you do this, that was the teaching at that time. If you do this, you will go to heaven and inherit the heavens. So we were doing our best to keep that, to do those two things. Love our neighbors. And my neighbor was, you know, according to my concept, was the ones that lives around me. So whatever they need, I used to kind of do the best to supply them. And trying to love them as much as I can and honor my parents. But then after 3 months, it fell. It went down and down because we didn't have nobody to encourage us, you know, keep doing this, you know. So we were 12 years old, and it went away. So and then almost 6 months passed, and they came again, and then we were encouraged again. And then it only lasts for a few time, and then it dies. But don't you are grateful that you don't have this kind of teaching? Huh? Don't you are grateful? I was hoping after I came to United States and I became to know the Lord more, and then I was hoping that if they read to me 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what it says? It talks about the tripartite man. If I knew that I was having three parts and I have a human spirit, I would say, well, there is something else there, so I will search more, and I will become to know that I have a human spirit. But anyway, so you are very blessed on this time. You are social. What a blessing to have this kind of truth on your eyes today. Now, I just would like to echo Brother Juan when he was having a situation in his house, right? He has a situation with the sewer. And what he did, he didn't know how to do it. He didn't know what to do. And he has a problem, right? So he called someone that knows how to resolve the problem. But even this one it was able to come, but he will pay a price. But give the instructions through the phone so that he can resolve the problem. Now, Brother Marvin encouraged all of you, because I know you're going to be off, right, for a week. Is that correct? A week? So he encouraged you to get together, either by phone or, I don't know, and touch the Lord together. Now, my point, dear saints, I have a burden that this is very good, and this will maintain the joy that we've been enjoying. But talking a little bit more deeper, we have a situation in us. Every one of us has a situation that not a lot of us know. Like when the brother says, Brother Fernando shared that he says that he has a situation, and he didn't say in details, but he just says it was a situation that no one of us knew. But and then he opened up a little bit about his sister, but we really didn't know at all, because he just shared a little bit. But anyway, there is a situation in each one of us that is very hard for us to overcome. It's very hard for us to overcome. And the thing is that you carry for days that situation. And you come to the meetings and you smile and everything, and we think that everything is fine. And the serving ones, they are fighting for you. You know, they're praying for you and everything, but we don't know. We don't know what's going on with you. And you going, you carry that, and you carry that, and you suffer for, and we don't know what's going on with you. You know, so you suffer and suffer, and this suffering you carry for days, for weeks, for months. And this thing is building up. It's not that you just had the situation. That situation builds up in you, and it gets worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, oh, what happened with the young brother? We don't see him anymore. Why? Because the situation builds up so much that the conscience gets so, what is the word I can use? That you don't feel that there is God. Like you feel like God is not real to you anymore. So you just want to stay home because going to the meetings is not effective anymore. Amen. You know? So being with the saints, it's kind of boring. You know, that meeting is too long, and maybe it was only 20 minutes. But for you, it was like 3 hours. So the point, dear saints, the point here is that if you have any situation, believe me, sometimes you might say, I don't know, you know, maybe this one, I really don't feel like sharing because it's something that I feel like what I did is something that I should not share because it's very, I would feel ashamed to share this. But you know, if you don't say it, if you don't open up, the thing is that remember that this age is also an evil age. And this age wants to get out of you completely from the church life. You know, because this age, you are the age turning. You will turn this age. So if you don't open up, that's my burden. If we open up to the serving ones, even to our parents, you know, sometimes the hardest one to open up is the parents. Because the parents are there daily telling you, do you did this? Do you did this? And they are every day after you, you know, because they want the best for you. So you are kind of tired listening to that, you know. So you prefer to, that's why the brother says, when I had to clean, one of the brothers says, when I had to do something in the house, I don't want to do it. But when I'm in the church meeting, if they want me to do it, I do it so easily, you know? So my point is that we have a lot of things in our heart, dear saint. It can be smaller or big things. Things that we go in our daily living, in school, with our friends that we choose, hidden things that we don't know, that, you know, that you're doing, and our family thinks that everything is fine. If you open up, I tell you something. Amen. You know what's going to happen? That trash is full. The flow is very hard to go. The first thing that's going to happen is that your conscience will activate. Amen. And you will start feeling the feeling to seek the Lord. Because a little bit of flow of life went into your heart. Flow from your spirit into your heart. Amen. And little by little, this little flow will make you come forward more and open up more with a lot of things that we haven't opened to this. Amen. It's very hard to open. If you feel like you haven't overcome, it's very hard to open to the Lord directly. The best suggestion is to open to a serving one. Amen. The serving one here don't gonna say, "Oh no, you should just stay home, and then when you resolve that problem, and then you can come to the meeting." No, we're here for you. Amen. We're fighting in prayer. Amen. For you to be in the church life. Amen. You know, for you to enjoy the church life. Amen. So that's why I encourage you, saints. You know, if you can open up, amen. You know, don't care, don't suffer in vain. Yeah. You know, open up to the saints. Amen. Open up to the serving ones. Amen. You will see the difference. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, dear saints.
Amen. 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 Don't feel you're alone. Yeah. Right? The Lord is with you. Amen. And the church is with you. Amen. So don't open up. Don't feel bad to carry your burden to the saints. Saints are here. On the other hand, we need to be those who bear one another's burden. If your brother come and open up, I'm having a hard time, don't laugh at them. you need to pray with them. Yeah. It's not easy to open up to someone, you know? And it's harder if you open up to someone and they laugh at you. Yeah. They minimize what you're going through. So we need to remember that. We need to be on both ends. Don't carry your burden alone. And then when someone open up to you, lead them into prayer. Maybe you can't solve the problem, but brother, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord together. Okay, now take out your name tag. And these two sections is passed to the middle. And Joshua, can you collect all the name tag holder? This section passed to here. And then Peter, can you just collect all the name holder? These two sections passed to the middle. And Julian, collect just the...